Today on Life Talk.
Our God sees the future. You know why? Because he's already in the future. Matter of fact, God is in your future, waiting for you to arrive. And the Bible says he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies, so that when you arrive, there's already a table prepared.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Only God knows the end of a thing before the beginning begins. Hi, and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're continuing in our series through Daniel that I've called Courageous Living in Trying Times. At this point in the book, Daniel is experiencing a series of powerful visions regarding the future. In today's message, we're going to find him predicting the rise of Antichrist, just as many other Bible writers have done. It's amazing to see that Daniel's vision is so specific, we're even given some of the personal characteristics Antichrist will possess. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation.
I believe the prophetic portion of the Bible is one of the great evidences that it's the Word of God. I don't need one, but it is one. About a quarter of your Bible is prophecy. Did you know that? And a lot of it has been fulfilled, but some of it hasn't. And some of what we're in has not yet been fulfilled. So if you want to understand the times, you get into the Word. Now, last time we closed halfway through chapter 7 with Daniel having a vision of the return of Christ. Let's just read it again so we can catch up, kind of refresh our minds. In verse 13, he says, I was watching in the night visions. This is Daniel 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven. He, Jesus, came to the Ancient of Days. That would be God. And they brought him, Jesus, near before him, God. Aren't you glad I made sense of that for you? A lot of personal pronouns in there. Now, Daniel next witnesses Christ Jesus receiving total dominion over all things. This is where history is racing toward, this event right here. Verse 14, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Read this next part with me. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. What kind of a dominion? Everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Isn't that great? That's where it's all heading. History isn't going to end with the devil in charge. It's going to end with Jesus ruling over everything. Now, this vision that Daniel had of Jesus returning came on the heels of his seeing four great beasts. And you remember them. One looked like a lion, one like a bear, one like a leopard, and the fourth beast was really more like a monster. So unlike the others, this fourth beast is not symbolized by any other animal. He's not like the others. Very, very different. Now, we saw that the lion represented Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And then the bear represented a kingdom that had not yet come. Now, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar is what Daniel was living in. But now, once he leaves talking about the lion, that being Babylon, he's prophesying future kingdoms that haven't arrived yet. So he says the bear represented the Medes and the Persians that conquered Babylon. We read about that. And then the leopard came and conquered the Medes and the Persians. Who was the leopard? But Alexander the Great and the Greeks. Isn't this amazing? God knows the end from the beginning. And the fourth beast represented Rome. So you've got Daniel having a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar had the same dream. just different characters were in play. You remember Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of the colossal man, head of gold, and so on and so forth. And Daniel dreamed of these four beasts. But what's happening here, folks, and this is what I want us to get out of this study in Daniel, is that God knows the kingdoms that are going to arise and conquer and rule before they even start. Our God sees the future. You know why? Because he's already in the future. Matter of fact, God is in your future waiting for you to arrive. And the Bible says he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies so that when you arrive, there's already a table prepared. And so it's just an amazing thing to me that he sees them coming. He's in Babylon. Then he says, well, we're going to be taken over by the Medes and the Persians. And then the Medes and the Persians are going to be taken over by the Greeks. Then the Greeks are going to be taken over by Rome. And none of them had come yet. Only the Bible does that. You know, the Quran doesn't have one prophecy. But our Bible is the word of the living God. And you know the end from the beginning. That's why I love to study it. Now, verse 15 begins with Daniel, who's greatly troubled with what he has seen. This has really bothered him, but particularly the fourth beast that was the monster. Unlike any of the others, so bad, so terrible was this thing that he saw, he could not attach an animal to it. There was nothing comparable. And verse 15 says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by, that would be an angel, and asked him the truth of all this. I want to know about this fourth beast. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. So here comes the interpretation of the beast that he's seen. Verse 17, these great beasts, says the angel, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. And then he describes these empires. Daniel's living in one of them, but the other three are yet to materialize. Not only does God show him their coming, but he describes something about the personality and the character of these kingdoms. And so Daniel continues with a word about the saints in the last days. Now we're coming down to you and to me. Verse 18, he says, these kingdoms are going to come and go, but the saints of the Most High, verse 18, shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Everybody say, that's a long time. He's saying kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Even the fourth beast, Rome, is going to come and it's going to go. But the saints of the Most High, turn to your neighbor and tell them, that's you. That's talking about you, saint. The saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom that never goes away, and we will possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever, ages upon ages, time without end. This happens when Jesus Christ returns to establish his millennial reign on earth. And verse 18 tells us that through it all, we win because Christ wins. I read the back of the book. I see who wins. And it's the church. Now, next, Daniel turns his attention again to the fourth beast. This fourth beast is really troubling him. He said he needs a special revelation on the fourth beast. So verse 19, he says, then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, teeth of iron, nails of bronze. And he sees this beast devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. I'm sorry, I just thought of Godzilla. But you remember how they used to show Godzilla on those movies, stomping, screeching out with that horrible roar, wiping out everything in its path. Really, this thing is Godzilla-like, what he sees. But remember, it's a nation, and it's Rome. Now, let's go on. Verse 20, and the 10 horns that were on its head. I wondered about those 10 horns. What are those 10 horns he's saying? And the other horn, which came up, before which three of the other horns fell. Namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Now, let me make sense of this for you. Remember, this is metaphorical illustrative, symbolic language. And it doesn't need to scare us. It doesn't need to make us go, oh, I can't understand this. Listen, God didn't give us a word that we can't understand. Amen? Once you understand what the symbols are, you're good. And so don't let this throw you, because these 10 horns represent 10 nations that evolve out of ancient Rome. We went through all of this when we studied the book of Revelation. That John described Rome, he said, it is that which is and was not and then comes back again. And over again, your Bible tells us that Rome would come, would go away, and then would come back somehow. Now, we know that Western Rome went away around the early 5th century, in the early 400s. Western Rome totally collapsed. And you know what collapsed it? The same things that are collapsing America right now. The invincible beast stomping and snorting and destroying everything in its path, seemingly unbeatable, crashed, shattered, and faded into history in around 420, 430 AD. Eastern Rome continued much longer, past the 1,000-year AD mark. But even eventually, Eastern Rome also collapsed because it broke into two, split into two. Western Rome went much earlier, Eastern Rome much later, but they both went away. Now, Daniel and John say it's going to come back. It's going to come back. In both the Revelation and in Daniel, we are shown 10 horns, 10 nations that have evolved out of ancient Rome. Now, I know this is a little heavy, but follow with me now. It's just like the civilization and the customs and the geographical location. 10 nations will arise out of what used to be ancient Rome. That's the 10 horns and 10 kings, the rulers of those 10 nations. And they play heavily in the last days. Because of Rome's location, these will clearly be, in my opinion, I don't see any other answer, but these 10 nations will be in the region we call the European Union. And they play a huge part in the last days.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, Daniel says, Lord, give me an answer to this fourth beast and the 10 horns. He's particularly intrigued also with the little horn that appears amongst the 10. Remember that? He says, I see 10 horns, and all of a sudden I see this little horn coming up. And as this little horn comes up, he displaces 3 of the 10 kings. The little horn is Antichrist. And we are told in the Bible that when the Antichrist comes to power, it is very fast, it is leopard-like, it is swift, and I believe brutal. It's a power play when he comes into power. And when he comes into power, he overthrows 3 of the 10 kings. It's a power play. He comes to power stomping on 3 kings. Now, verse 21, I was watching, and the same horn, the little horn, was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Now, let me tell you what this means. For a season, the little horn, who is the Antichrist, there's no question about it, because remember, Daniel said he had eyes and a mouth. He said, this little horn that I saw had eyes and a mouth. So that's letting us know this is not a thing or an it or a political entity. It is a man. He used the pronoun him, he, him. So does Paul. So does John. It's a man who epitomizes evil. He is satanically, demonically possessed like no one in the history of the world. Don't get me wrong, he's not virgin born. Rosemary's Baby? No. I'm sorry. I just got to make things clear up here. Because people say, oh, the devil is going to have relations with a woman. No, no, no. The Antichrist is born like everybody else, but somewhere along the way, he is seized by the devil. He is filled with the devil. And he is a totally satanically inspired individual that drips charisma. When you meet him, you will probably like him unless you have real discernment. And sometimes I wonder where in the world America's discernment has gone. What is wrong with us? But unless you have discernment, he'll be a winning personality, a likable personality, a charismatic personality, a spellbinder behind the podium. And he will convince the world to follow him. He will convince the world to come under his control. And he'll have a man known as the false prophet, who is also called a beast in the Revelation, and he will be a religious figure. The Antichrist will be a political figure. He will be known to be in the political sphere, but the false prophet who comes alongside him to help him will be a religious figure. And he will perform, according to the Bible, signs and wonders that are satanically inspired. He's sort of like the Antichrist's own personal John the Baptist. You know, the devil can't come up with anything original. He's got to copy what God does. And so this false prophet will be pointing to Antichrist, saying, here's your man, here's your answer. And he'll do signs and wonders in front of a watching world. And he will say to the watching world, follow him, follow us, this team. This is the little horn with eyes and a mouth. He'll be known for his speech. Hitler was a type. I'm going to stop there. I can think of other types. Now, during this time, this is what Daniel's telling us. A great persecution will be unleashed against tribulation saints, where they will not be able to buy or sell, having refused the mark of the beast, and will essentially be hounded day and night by the evil system put in place by the man of sin, which is what Paul calls him, the man of sin. Now, here's the deal. Antichrist will come into power. Notice, he comes up from amongst, from the midst of these 10. To me, when I read this, I think, okay, then he's part of one of those 10 nations. Because it says he comes up from the midst. He rises in the midst of his contemporaries. And he takes charge. And he has his little false prophet with him. The false prophet is the one who tells the world that they must receive that mark, the mark of the beast, 666, whatever it will be, a laser tattoo that you can't see unless it's under a light, a chip, I don't know. But I do know that you will receive that mark, and if you don't receive that mark, you will be persecuted. And this is what Daniel is also showing us. John already told us this in the New Testament, but now we've got the Old Testament saying that same horn, that little horn, makes war against the saints and prevails against them for a season. He'll persecute God's people for a season, tribulation saints. He'll persecute them. And it will look like he's prevailing against them. It will look like he's winning the day. But he has a very brief season, as far as time goes, to do what he's going to do. So there will be a great persecution. He's talking about the great tribulation here. The saints of that time are going to resist Antichrist rule. Any Christian with any discernment at all will say, no way, Jose, to that mark, or to you, Mr. Antichrist and false prophet. But the persecution will only last 7 years, and the worst of it will be the last 3.5 years, which Daniel is going to show us in just a minute. And then Jesus returns in the eastern sky. Daniel sees this. This excites me because this was before the New Testament. And what we're about to read, Jesus said the same thing. And John said the same thing. And Paul said the same thing. Our Bible is a unified book, though it had over 40 different authors spread throughout the world. Yeah. Verse 22, until, now what's the until? It's connecting. They will be persecuted. These tribulation saints will be persecuted by the little horn. Everybody say until. Now read the next words with me. The Ancient of Days came. Jesus is going to put a stop to it all. They're going to be persecuted by the little horn with eyes and a mouth until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of who? The saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to do what? Possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now let's look at it. Jesus talked about this moment many times in Scripture that Daniel just showed us. Now let's look at verse 31 of Matthew 25. And here's Jesus talking. Look at the similarity. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. Notice this, China, Russia, Singapore, all of Europe, all nations are going to be gathered before your Jesus, my Jesus. All the nations will be gathered before him, and look what he's going to do. He will separate them one from another, so Jesus profiles. Can I say it? Well, say, not the bad way, Pastor Jeff. Oh, I know, but I'm saying he judges and makes a difference between right and wrong and good and bad. That's free. That's not in my notes. I just want you to know he never told us not to judge. He just said, just don't judge wrong. Don't judge wrongly. Don't judge hypocritically. But if you don't judge, you're a dead man, a dead woman. But here's Jesus judging. And what does he do? As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Doesn't pay to be a leftist. I'm sorry. That's free too. I'm just noting that those that are lost, he put on the left. I'm just having fun with you because this is so deep and so heavy. Bear with me. Now notice what he's doing here. Isn't this something? When this awesome judgment of separating sheep from goats takes place, then the righteous, that is Jesus' bride, will step in to rule the world with Christ. Let me tell you the judgments that's coming. When Jesus returns, he's going to bring the entire world before him. The entire world. And he will know who's saved and who's lost. And he will divide the saved, the sheep, from the lost, the goats. He will do it at his return. At that moment, it's eternally too late to get right. You cannot at that time say, you know, Jesus, I'm thinking twice about what I heard 20 years ago, and I think it's time for me to repent. No, that's too late. There will be a time where it's eternally too late. And if you're alive at the return of Christ, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will say to the righteous, enter into the joy of the Lord. And he will say to the goats, depart from me, I never knew you. And you know what a lot of those goats are going to be saying? But Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and do miracles in your name and do this and that in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's what he says to the goats. So, Jeff, how can you do miracles in his name and not know him? It happens all the time. You can say Jesus is Lord and not be saved. You can say Jesus is Lord and still be lost. It's have you been born again? Have you truly repented? Have you truly come to him? Have you asked for forgiveness? And has the Spirit entered your heart? Because any man that doesn't have the Spirit, Paul wrote in Romans, is not his. So the Spirit is sort of the mark of ownership. And the sheep with the mark of ownership, the Spirit living in them will be put over here. And then the goats over here. There will be an awesome judgment. Here's what will happen. Matthew 25, 23 says, his master said to him, this is for the sheep. Well done, good and faithful slave. That's servant. And it comes from the Greek word doulos. Doulos really does mean slave. I'm the slave of Christ. And you know what? Listen, when you say the word slave, and I know it has a terrible connotation, but when you're Jesus' slave, that's how you get free. You're not chained up if you're his slave. If you're the devil's slave, you're all chained up. But if you're Jesus' slave, as soon as you say, Lord, 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 and mean it, the chains come off.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.